From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. In 1832, playwright and performer Thomas Dartmouth Rice used theatrical makeup to create a supposedly black character and performed a song called Jump Jim Crow. That name came to represent a system of extrajudicial terror and racial segregation laws that ended in 1965. As the recent political crisis in Virginia shows, dressing up in blackface did not. A Washington Post poll has Virginians split over whether Governor Ralph Northam should resign after photos from his 1984 med school yearbook surfaced, showing a character in blackface next to a person in a KKK hood. Last week, a Pew Research Center poll found that about a third of all Americans say dressing up in blackface is always or sometimes okay for a Halloween costume. Journalist and Spelman graduate Alexis Clark has done research on the history of blackface and recent scandals involving public officials and is joining us from New York. Welcome, Alexis.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we touched on the surface of how blackface was used historically. Can you go a little deeper into its origins and the stereotypes it portrayed?
Sure. Well, the roots of blackface date back to centuries-old productions in Europe, most famously of Othello. But European immigrants brought it over in 18th century. And so there are historians that have marked some of these performances along the northeastern seaports. But what we know most famously as the birth of blackface minstrelsy is in the 1830s. And as you mentioned, T.D. Rice, an actor from New York who observed slaves in the South, developed this character, Jim Crow. And it was a buffoonish man in tattered clothing. And it enforced all these stereotypes of being unintelligent, uncouth, and lazy, and just a performer. And this became central to American entertainment in the North and South, these blackface minstrel shows.
Right. Let's be clear. This was not just a Southern phenomenon. It was extremely popular, these minstrel shows, and on vaudeville and other stages, until about the 1920s when it died out, but lived on in movies, on college campuses, and costumes. Why, Alexis, do you think it became so pervasive in the U.S.?
Well, there was a surge in blackface, in particular after the Civil War and into the 20th century, when you had emancipated slaves demanding their civil rights and the right to vote. So blackface was used as a tool of racial oppression, basically to justify how we can treat these people as subhuman and then reinforce all these terrible stereotypes. Mm-hmm. So that's why it became so popular in theater and we know in film, in particular with the legendary classic Birth of a Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And that showed blackface, all the stereotypes. They were predators of white women, lazy, unscrupulous. And so this actually became a recruiting tool. This film itself became a recruiting tool for the Klan, the Birth of a Nation. And so this image was used as justification for racial oppression.
Right. But I was looking through historical photos and seeing, like, Little Shirley Temple in blackface and Bing Crosby in blackface. So certainly a 20th century phenomenon as well. The Virginia governor, Ralph Northam, admitted and then withdrew an admission and then apologized for wearing blackface. The state's attorney general, Mark Herring, who admitted it, both this happened in the 1980s. Is there a difference in Northam and Herring in contrast to those 19th and 20th century acts in blackface?
Well, you can have a nuanced meaning, but the overall consensus is that it's a mocking of black people. I mean, there, of course, you have blackface that's rooted in slavery advertisements. I mean, you have blackface rooted in these stereotypes of men being predators of white women and a justification of racial terror. But then you have, again, the Governor Northam and dressing up as Michael Jackson, where it might not seem as harmful and their intention is to necessarily destroy black people, but it is to mock black people and to dehumanize black people. And when you really think about it, what it looks like, it's a grotesque appearance. And it's how you see the other. And that's in the racism. So even though you might not have its traditional roots of Jim Crow oppression, you still are giving the message that you are so different and you're less than human, and this is what we think of you.
But this is Northam digging himself in deeper when he tried to explain dressing as Michael Jackson.
Absolutely.
Here he
absolutely.
Is.
And I used just a little bit of shoe polish to put under my or on my cheeks. And the reason I used a very little bit is because I don't know if anybody's ever tried that, but you cannot get shoe polish off.
Just a lot of jaws dropped when he said that. We're talking about, you know, a politician at a news conference with his career on the line. What does that reveal about a background or social bubble that he thought that that might exonerate him?
Well, he's definitely ignorant of the history, but that's not an excuse because his medical school yearbook was in the mid-80s. And so this is during the Reagan era. This is where you had the welfare queen stereotypes. So he had to have known. He also was an adult. And so I don't think there's an excuse that you might not know how hateful the history is because it was just too pervasive. And then on the other hand, if you didn't, then the question is, once you found out, what did you do about it?
Right. Let's go for the ignorance tack. Around Last Halloween, former Today Show host Megyn Kelly was fired for on-air remarks surrounding the appropriateness of blackface as part of Halloween costumes. Now, here are two of the things that she said during the show. First,
you do get in trouble if you are a white person who puts on blackface on Halloween or a black person who puts on whiteface for Halloween. Like, when I was a kid, that was okay as long as you were dressing up as, like, a character. There was a controversy on The Real Housewives of New York with Luann as she dresses Diana Ross, and she made her skin look darker than it really is, and people said that that was racist. And I don't know, I thought, like, who doesn't love Diana Ross? She wants to look like Diana Ross for one day.
So here is Megyn Kelly apologizing.
You may have heard that yesterday we had a discussion here about political correctness and Halloween costumes. And that conversation turned to whether it is ever okay for a person of one race to dress up as another. A black person making their face lighter or a white person making theirs darker to make a costume complete. I defended the idea, saying as long as it was respectful and part of a Halloween costume, it seemed okay. Well, I was wrong, and I am sorry.
Alexis Clark is with us. She's a journalist. She's also a Spelman graduate, and we're talking about the political crisis now in Virginia, but really what it's revealed about thinking about blackface going on in our culture right now. This is surfacing now, but it's certainly not new. Brooklyn Democratic Assemblyman Dove Hykind blackened his face for a costume in 2013. He said, you know, this is abject political correctness that he got in trouble. Washington State mayoral candidate David Sponheim did too, and he said black people can dress up as whites without backlash. Alexis, what do you think? Is any argument ever to be made that blackface is not racist?
No, and he probably regrets those comments. And it's a terrible comparison to say black people dressing up in whiteface because there's no historical context for that. You don't have centuries-old images of distorting white features. You don't have a history of demonizing white features. In fact, they're celebrated as beautiful. But on the other hand, black people, we've always been portrayed in these roles as blackface as subhuman. So to say that a black person dressing up as white is the same as someone black, it's just factually incorrect. And so that to me demonstrates a lack of sensitivity and a lack of history and really just a false equivalent.
What do you say to the Pew poll results? Slight majority do say that it is generally unacceptable to dress up. They used Halloween as a question. A third say you should never do it. About one in three always or sometimes okay to dress up in blackface for Halloween. Is this just tone deafness?
Well, it's a combination. It's very nuanced on why people do it. I mean, are you dressing up as when you're dressing up as an African-American celebrity, I mean, maybe you're emulating them, but you're also making them look very grotesque. And that's just, it's just an exaggeration of features. Why is it necessary? What is going on where you see someone in this way? And so you really have to dig deep and wonder why you need to mock someone and think about the history associated with it. So if you respect the history and you actually learn from the history, I can't imagine you wanting to dress in shoe polish and grease paint. So I think someone needs to examine their heart and their true intentions wearing this type of makeup and why they'd want to, especially if I've shared the history and you know how hurtful it is.
Well, we are in Georgia, a state where former Governor Eugene Talmadge was an open racist, where the KKK was reborn at Stone Mountain, and where hundreds of people were lynched. So what are the odds that some of our political leaders have worn blackface at some point in their life?
Well, it's up to them to decide if they have, how they're going to deal with it. And how if they're going to come clean, I think they should, with their inner circle of black leaders and constituents. The last thing you want is it leaked, and then you breach that trust. I mean, I can't predict who's worn blackface out of the Georgia State Legislature, but now that it's back in the discourse, there needs to be a conversation about it. Otherwise, you do risk another Governor Northam when it's exposed, not on anyone else's terms, but on social media, and then you have a backlash and a very hurt community that wonders what your true intentions are and what you think of the black community.
But if somebody should come clean, would come clean, would they have to resign? Is there any possible sincere apology that shows, you know, personal growth after youthful mistakes, something that happened decades ago?
I think it's a case-by-case basis. I don't think there should be one widespread rule that you have to resign, because now Governor Northam needs to prove himself. And maybe he's really going to take on issues, continue to take on issues of the black community now that this is in the limelight and he has actually been a part of a system of oppression by wearing blackface. So perhaps it's not just an immediate knee-jerk reaction, okay, you should resign, if you look at the history of that person's actions. Have they changed? What have their policies been like? So I think we should probably take it up on a case-by-case basis.
Well, we do still hear in Georgia about college sororities or fraternities participating in blackface. And it was just a couple years ago, I think 2015, that UGA banned hoops, University of Georgia, banned hoop skirts at their Old South Spring Date events. And the school said the skirts were reminiscent of plantation-era garments and projected racist overtones. And think about, you know, that socialization that happens in college. What must it be like to witness that kind of behavior for an African-American student?
It's humiliating. It's basically taking some of the most egregious parts of our history, where people were murdered and killed and enslaved and raped, and diminishing it. And wearing this costume as if you can just distance the history from it. And you can't do that. And every Halloween, this seems to happen. And so I challenge those people when they say it's just a costume, because you can't separate the costume from the history. That's why blackface came to be. It was a tool of white supremacist propaganda. So you can't separate that meaning.
Do you think, Alexis, we're in a watershed moment for blackface? This has just been exposed in a way that we can't turn back from.
Well, I think it's a watershed moment if we can talk about it more into a historical context and an academic context, if it's going to be taught into the schools. I mean, you just don't want to hear that it's wrong. You need to know why. So we need to talk about it more from an historical perspective, so the meaning's clear and why people know why it's so devastating to have blacks portrayed in this way, and what those stereotypes did. I mean, those were used for oppression, segregation, poor housing, poor schools, because we were considered less than. So I think it's a watershed moment if not only are we revealing all the people who maybe have worn this, but why and how we move forward. And the only way we can do that is to talk about it historically. And I hope that means putting it into school curriculums.
Alexis Clark, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Journalist and Spelman grad Alexis Clark. And we'd love to hear from you. What do you think? Is it ever okay to dress in blackface? Let us know in our Facebook group, GPB's On Second Thought.